All right, we will now convene the November 8, 2016 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. And with that, I have reviewed and approved the minutes of our September 13, 2016 meeting. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's agenda?
Yes, sir, Mr. McKelvey, we do have one case that's listed that's in compliance but not reflected on the agenda. Number 7, SMG 09165247 for 734 Flanders Avenue is in compliance as of November 8, 2016.
All right, well, all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you want officers to swear? Do we have another microphone? Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank
you. All right. Case number 1, Benny Enterprises, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Are we here for the imposition of a fine or
Ms. Fakelja, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This case was continued from the September meeting to the October meeting because they basically were changing what the efforts were going to be. They had asked, they were going to need more time because they were on track with a new plan. They had a new management, and they were going to get this thing rolling. Where we are today, at least from the perspective of the city and the response we've gotten from our redevelopment officers, that they hadn't done much of anything since that time. We realized that last month there were some issues that with Hurricane, but nothing's been done up to this point. We're not sure what they need. Our perspective is if they're not doing something different or something more, then we're asking for a fine of $250 per day.
First off, I mean for giving our secretary an opportunity to swear the response. I'm glad to do that.
Please state your name for the record.
Lori Jordan.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Thank you. All right, before I get to the response, so city's dissatisfied with whatever efforts been put in since the last time we met, and I assume that's going to be magnified with the intervening October hiatus. In fact, the names are here for a problem.
Correct.
Not by agenda, but yes, it's not what we scheduled. What we scheduled was a continuance of the imposition of a fine. I think it was your anticipation that you wanted them to show that they were indeed doing something more new, or we were going to address a fine issue. And that's where we are. We have the city's position is that we're waiting to see that they are proceeding with getting something accomplished.
Let's hear from the response.
Good morning. I apologize. The last time we met, you told me clearly that it was, a progress report. And I spoke to Mike this morning, and the issue is the no permits for what is being done. And I was under the impression after receiving the comments that I can't do that until it's approved.
Let me interject. Okay. This progress drawing report, we are proceeding with it. We're renovating the whole project and has to be a variance attached with it, which, as you know, last time we was here, Reed Berger was in favor of this project and said proceed. We have applied for an application for this thing. It's been submitted. And we're working on it. So I know she's got some other things too that's been done. Okay, got some new survey, other things that we're going to need. So we're in progress. It just don't show in your reader.
Let's take me a little baby steps. So since we were here in September, what have you all done?
We've done basically, there's four sheets of plans that we're ready, pretty close, ready to submit back to the city, the TRT. Well, it's building design and site plan, yes. And we're changing the whole concept of the project. It used to be a pizza parlor or something, but it's all new.
This is new since we were here in September.
Yes.
All right, what else?
And I know she had the roof put on the building. I haven't seen it, but she said that part of it blew back off right after the hurricane. But we had a contract, the roof was installed, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And you had roof work done since then?
Absolutely.
Has it been repaired, though?
I have a warranty, but it was done since then, and I have the invoices, and there was a permit, and that was completed as well.
So there was a new roof put on the building. And we had to order a survey, and the survey is, you just got it, didn't you?
It's in progress.
It's in progress, too.
But it has been paid for and scheduled, which was similar.
So as far as painting the building and cutting weeds, I think that's a joke when we're trying to proceed with this thing in a real way and not just maintenance of a property. We are trying to proceed with the project.
So where do we go next?
TRT for their approval and then keep on going. But we can't get a permit on this plan without having that plan approved first by staff.
So when does that happen?
When we get it back in. We've already submitted the application, but we're working on the plans itself.
So this plan is incomplete?
Yes.
All right. So when is this plan going to be finalized?
Probably in the next couple of weeks, but we're working on it. Certainly the storm didn't help me because I was out of town for 3 weeks, but we're back and working on it, and we intend to get it approved for the end of the year, but we're hopeful to do. But I can't see if we can get a permit for anything else other than the roof or something like that until we have a project. Because we do have a design for the building itself. That corresponds.
You just did. Is that going to continue beyond these plans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the roof work we've got, so we're done with the roof part.
I think the roof part, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the items on the list.
Did you call any of our inspectors to inspect any of the work by any chance?
As far as I know, there hasn't been any work on site except the roof.
Right, there hasn't been anything besides that. That's the only thing there was a permit for.
And is this building still unoccupied and secured?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Are you all maintaining the exterior?
I don't know what's
there's
going on
really
there.
Nothing in the exterior besides a concrete.
It's normal ISB.
Mm-hmm. It's the only thing on ISB besides the the look that we all hate coming in. So we're trying to improve it. I think that's why the staff's in favor of this project. We're trying to do something to change the.
Mr. Wachowski, if I can just mention that point, if I may. That's a property where we've gotten complaints of vagrants, and I think they've gotten the trespass arrest site, so they may not be having any issues with the external force, people being there. That was one of the problems we were having. People were sleeping on the mm-hmm. on a property.
Mm-hmm. That's true with all abandoned
buildings.
Yes, they have.
And is the city aware that
inspectors advised me that he is aware. He's not aware whether or not it's satisfactory at this point. You know, it was done prior to the hurricane, that he knows it was substantially damaged from the hurricane, and he doesn't know what the status is of today. And for the record, Inspector, it's Mike Fitzgerald. If you have anything specific as far as any other questions.
Has Mr. Fitzgerald had an opportunity to see these plans yet?
No, I haven't seen them.
You got a copy for you.
I just need one for the record.
So I can hear you. I'm going to see one.
I can shoot this.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, see that?
I just gave you. No, you gave yours. There you go. That's yours.
Now, here you go. No. Okay, well, here's the site plan we're working for. Here's the building, obviously. Here is the existing building, what it looks like now. And
Mr. McKelvey, if I can also say, after speaking further with the inspector, the position of the city is not that we don't want to see this project done. We want to see this project done. We believe that the response from redevelopment is that they hadn't heard from them in over 30 days. And I think they just explained that. So if indeed they're working towards getting this accomplished, it's the desire to see it accomplished.
Sorry. Or I'll talk behind your back. Sorry.
Okay. All right. I understand as far as the city for sure progress has been slow, but that's not the first time that's happened. Of course, we have had some intervening events. And it appears that the fund is doing a complete makeover.
Yes.
So it's
yes.
Just some patch job.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe this will be the dawn of a new era on international speed.
That would be great.
I should probably keep my mouth shut.
No, that's okay. I said it first.
But in any event, I'm satisfied that the respondent is moving forward. So that having been said, I'm going to continue this matter for another progress report. So the good news is I'm going to allow you additional time. The bad news is we're going to be looking over your shoulder to make sure that things just keep moving forward in a nice, reasonable manner. That's all I expect. And hopefully that Jack will actually get to complete this thing up, and it looks as though it may be an asset in the midst of a wasteland. Mm-hmm. We've got asset also. So with that, I'll continue this matter to our January 10, 2017 meeting for another progress report.
Okay.
And as I understand it, hopefully by then, those plans will have been finalized, they'll have been submitted for technical review, and hopefully by then you'll have gotten some feedback.
Yeah.
So with that, it might be a little premature, but we're nearing a point where we might be able to plug a compliance date in somewhere down the road.
Okay.
And of course, as long as you understand, it's not the occupied, utilized, rented, exterior maintenance. And we've already complied with the police department's request with regard to the trespassing. So, that having been said, good luck to you.
Thank you.
So, if you're continuing the current status online, or are you allowing them more time?
Yes, I am continuing the imposition of a fine, if that's what we were here for, or if that's what brought the matter here to payment. Continuing the imposition of a fine and having the clients return next month for a progress report.
Next month.
Or January.
Next month, December 13, 2016.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Good luck to you. Case number two, Joseph Jancis. Good morning.
Good morning, Magistrate.
Can you state your name, please, sir?
Oh, Joseph Jancheski.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Hold on one second. In the city, refresh my recollection as to what we are looking for in the way of progress report.
Yes, sir. This is a... the inspector in this case is John Stinson, and with the gap in the month, I'd have to look to Mr. Stinson to just refresh you on that status. So I would tend to Mr. Stinson of us, the magistrate.
Good morning. I'm John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. This case began in May as a citizen's complaint about the conditions of the property. There was no power and water. There were squatters on the property, outside storage of junk and debris. The meat of the complaint was the fact that there was no water for sanitary reasons. So the squatters were thrown outside. So that's what brought it to the city's attention, and the rest of the violations were discovered upon my inspection.
Are these tenants gone?
The tenants are gone. The owner had the property secured. However, it's basically stayed at that state at this point.
Now, he has... I mean, I'm just trying, I can't recall. Were we looking for the progress report to find out that the tenants were removed, or was there something specific we were expecting to have done?
No.
I noticed the compliance date isn't until February 8th.
Correct. The tenants were removed, but he was undergoing a full renovation, and he still had to get permits and hadn't gotten a permit yet. The interior of the house is just an empty shell. It's been gutted. So we were still waiting for him to apply for his permits and begin his renovation project.
Okay. All right.
I just submitted the plans from the architects.
I just submitted the plans from the architect yesterday with Jürgen Bitz, the inspector, and he gave me this letter to show to you. And I'm still waiting for the permits. So the plan, those are new plans that Mr. Jürgen Bitz got. So he said he's going to take him a couple of weeks to see if he could approve the permits for, you know.
All right, so
because I'm waiting for permits, you know, to start working on the house.
Here's the plans
for. It's an architect.
Who's your architect?
I mean, he's got the plans downstairs. I don't know the name exactly, you know.
So you tell me you hired an architect.
Yes.
The architect has actually prepared plans.
Yes.
For renovations you plan on doing.
Correct. That's correct.
You tell me those plans have now been submitted.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes.
And Mr. Best tells you it'll be a couple of weeks before they can
Yeah. Yeah, give me the permits and stuff.
Okay, so as I understand what you're telling me, you're expecting to have permits.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Right.
Once I get the permits, you know, work will begin with the contractors and, you know.
All right. So do you want to say anything more?
No, sir. Well, we believe if we stay on track, we should maintain the compliance state that's currently in place.
Do you need a copy of this?
The board secretary does.
This
is for the case. Okay.
Okay. And is this building occupied or empty ice?
Oh, no, it's empty completely.
And you're going to continue to keep it empty until it's in compliance?
That's correct.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to continue to maintain the exterior?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Similar to the case before us, I'm going to bring you back for another progress report on December 13th of 2016.
Okay.
And if you would bring your plans with you, I'd like to see them.
Well, I could go get them now.
No, it's not that big a deal. I want you to get leave them where they are. I'm hoping by then your plans will be done, just so I can eyeball them, because you've got a February 8th compliance.
But I have them in the car. I could go get them.
That's all right. I'll take your word.
All right.
The point is, hopefully you'll have an approved set along with some permits.
Okay.
By our next call.
I hope so, too.
All right. Very good. But if nothing else, at least bring me the plan so I can take a look at it just for my own benefit.
Okay.
And then with that, we'll see you on December 13th for another progress report.
Okay.
Hopefully you'll be telling me the plans were approved, you've got your permits, I can look at them, and you're on your way.
That's correct.
Very good. But if any problems crop up in between then, then we'll address them at that time.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Good luck. Case number 3, Daisy Smalls Johnson and George Smalls Jr. and Vincent E. Smalls.
Good morning. Good morning, Your Honor. How you all doing?
All right. Can you say your name, please?
George Smalls Jr.
You raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Smalls, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Ms. Vakelja, the inspectors, John Stinson and Mr. Stinson, reports that now Mr. Smalls is close. They've been doing work after they were able to get the tenant out, and he's almost done, so we're asking to amend to the next cutoff.
No, I don't have any problem with that, Your Honor. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, then I will go ahead and amend our current amended. I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 7, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
You can call your inspector.
I will. Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm. Case number 4, Edna Sheffield, Life Estate. Anyone here for the respondent? Matters here for the imposition of fine. Edna Sheffield, Life Estate.
Mr. Calder, you may recall this is one that's been before you a number of times where we had a tenant and landlord-tenant issues and disputes. This is not the one? Oh, I'm sorry, I need help there. That's what my note says. Well, then I need to look to Mr. Stinson. I guess these gaps are affecting me here. Mr. Stinson's the inspector on here. I'll ask Mr. Stinson to update. I know he is asking for a fine, but I'll ask him to update you on the history of the case.
Good morning again. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. This case came as a tenant complaint, in May. Property conditions. At the time, there was a family living in there, and as you can tell by photographs, there were a plethora of violations there. As of my reinspection yesterday, the tenants are out. However, that's the only progress. The condition of the property remains the same. She did not tell me how long they've been out, but I know they went out and came back and then went out, and then I guess she got tired of that. So they're finally completely out. However, the condition of the property hasn't changed.
What's the city looking for in the way of the money?
We're looking at $150 per day to be capped at $15,000.
So aside from removing the tenant, we haven't seen any work?
That's correct.
And it's been going on since May?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent a sum of $150 per day commencing November 3, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. Just so I can be clear on the purpose of my order, when I say when the property is flooded to compliance, it means the fine is that many days from November 3 until the compliance date, $150 per day. Very good. Case number 5, Crystal Scott. Anyone here for the respondent?
Okay.
Crystal Scott,
let's
say the city.
All right, let's see if we got this one. Ms. Vakelja, this property is, the inspector for this property is John Stinson. The last report I received from Mr. Stinson is that the respondent is close. I'll ask Mr. Stinson to give you an update on the status as of today. Thank you, Mr. Stinson.
Morning again. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. This started as a tenant complaint also in May. However, The majority of the violations were corrected. Unfortunately, the storm came through, and now they're not. They have to replace the entire roof, and there's some other structural damage on the outside. So we would like to actually amend this to January.
Communication with the respondent?
Yes, sir.
Is the respondent aware that means this case is going to remain open between now and January?
Yes, sir.
The damaged items due to the storm, were they among items that were listed to be repaired?
Sir. Yes. The roof was actually repaired. It was just a fascia, but now it's the whole roof. Some back windows in the rear were just destroyed.
All right. I will amend our current amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent, you said January?
Yes, sir.
Until January 4, 2017, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 6, Susan Hansom Family Limited Partnership.
I think so.
Good morning, Peter Ancona, New Smyrna Beach.
Bill Papagno on behalf of Ms. Hansom, which is, she's out of the country.
I'm sorry, your name again?
Bill Papagno, P-A-P-A-G-N-O.
Okay, can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Mr. McAlder, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city. The inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson, this is probably the case I was referring to before, is the issues of tenant and landlord disputes that ultimately the tenant's no longer in the unit. The principal concern in the city now is that they're doing works that exceed the permit and doing work without permit. But the inspector is John Stinson, and he will be able to give you additional factual information regarding that. I tender Mr. Stinson for further information.
Okay. Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. This case began in June as a tenant complaint for all the listed violations. Since then, we've been here to hearings. We've gone back and forth. We've actually been in civil court for this. I have not seen the interior of the property. The exterior of the property work that has been done has exceeded the scope of their permits by quite a bit.
Is that a bad thing?
Yes, sir.
How so?
The requirement was to repair handrails in the front and repair the rear door and the broken step, which was simple enough. However, they, rather than just repaired it, completely tore it down and rebuilt it, which requires a lot more extensive planning from an engineer, and they have to be submitted to the building department. The respondent was advised of this numerous occasions, and as of yesterday, there still has been no revision submitted to the building department to approve this new work that's been done.
So the city's complaint is they failed to come into compliance by doing more than they were asked to do, and the more that they were asked to do would have required permits that they didn't obtain.
Not exactly. They failed to come into compliance for the majority of the violations. The tenant has been gone maybe a month and a half, 2 months now. Like I said, I have not seen the interior of it yet. The only permits that they actually submitted was repair the front railing, repair the rear step, replace the rear door, and all of these issues that are on the interior. But as you can tell by the photographs, well, first they replaced the rear door without a permit, and I had to issue a stop work order for that. They did get the permit, and I rescinded that stop work order. So they were just supposed to repair the concrete steps that you see there laying in, as it's been demolished, and the framing for the brand new stairs are there. They're completed now, along with the front of the property that has the entire front has been completed with a brand new railing handrail system. None of these projects were permitted. So we don't know if it's been done right. It wasn't required. I mean, it's great that they went above and beyond. However, they still need to have it inspected and permitted and make sure it's done properly. And like I said, it's been back and forth in civil litigation as well between the landlord and the tenant.
What is the relief the city's asking for here?
The city's asking for $200 a day to be capped at $15,000.
And what has the respondent done to warrant a $200 a day fine, just out of curiosity?
Like I said, the case began in June. They've been repeatedly...
We had a tenant issue.
We had a tenant issue.
Because the city itself has been swept into this tenant issue.
That's correct.
Okay, go ahead.
They had the tenant issue. We're talking repeated re-inspections, repeated conversations with the property owner.
Now, was some of that due to the friction between the tenant and the property owner?
I'm sure it was.
Okay.
But as far as I was concerned, the city was concerned, that my concern was the property. Like I said, numerous phone conversations, emails about what they needed to do to bring the property into compliance and to do it properly, and to today, we still haven't reached that point.
Is the building occupied?
It's vacant as of now.
Okay, very good. And you haven't seen the interior, so you can't comment on that?
That's correct.
Very good. All right, who's the spokesman for the respondent going to be?
I am, Your Honor, thank you. Good morning.
What's the story with the interior? Have you done any work there?
The interior is 99% done.
All right, now, and I guess the city has observed that you've done more work to the exterior than was called for, so much so that you required a permit to do it.
Mr. Stetson's correct in many of those situations, sir, but let me explain. As for the front rail system, I had initially repaired the front rail system, and Mr. Stetson then found some more things wrong with it. After further inspection by myself and by the contractor, we decided to repair it. Okay. His name is John Gaffney, Gaffney Brothers Construction, New Smyrna Beach.
The contractor doing this work?
He permits, yes, sir. That seems to be another issue I did the work, but Mr. Gaffney pulled the permits, and we discussed in detail what was going to be done. Now, there was a oversight, and I'll say that with all due respect to the court, it was an oversight on our part for the back porch. It never got into the building permit, but it was absolutely discussed that would be replaced with a structure that's currently there. I don't know if your pictures show the actual structure. So we concede that that was done without a permit, but I was not aware that that wasn't part of the permit that was originally pulled. So we concede to that. But we went above and beyond because we've been getting mixed signals from the city and from Mr. Stetson. He didn't like my first repair of the stair, and that's why we decided to replace the whole thing. As for the door, I was thinking of the tenant at the time. The previous door, which was stated to be rotten, was not rotten. It was just abused, and that's why it fell off. At the time, my first thought was for the tenant and the security of the tenant and their four children to make sure that door was done. The permit was applied for. It just hadn't been approved. It took 3 weeks for the city to approve that door permit. So I went in there thinking of only the tenant when Mr. Stetson was notified in advance because of the litigation that I was coming that day. He showed up right after I had demolished the old door and then put a stop work order, which then I did stop work, and all I did was put a piece of plywood over the door and screw it in place with 20 screws to make sure nobody could get in the house. But everything's been done. There's a couple little things. House has been repainted on the inside completely. New stove.
Okay, how far are you away from completion?
Well, as soon as we get the revision in, you know, unfortunately, the revision to the permit to include the exterior work. Yes, sir. The contractors, as you know, we got smashed down in New Smyrna, and Mr. Gaffney is straight out, and I've spoken to him on numerous occasions. He goes, I have so much work, I have no time to get to the city. And he says, you're going to have to wait a little bit. And I said, well, we'll do what we can, but you know, fines are going to start shortly, and we don't want to be fined for some.
You know. So it's your contention that right now the posture you're in is that the work has been done, the exterior work has actually been improved above and beyond what was...
Way above, yes, sir.
Apparently there's an admission on your part that perhaps the necessary permits weren't obtained. You've got a contractor who's been obtaining your permits. You're waiting for that contractor to submit whatever needs to be submitted to you to
Correct.
Come into compliance. But he's now telling you to do the storm work. He doesn't know when he's going to be able to.
Yeah, he's primarily a roofing contractor. That's not his primary business, but right now it is. And he's like everybody else down in New Smyrna Beach. They're just swamped. He doesn't have any work in Daytona.
Okay, I'm going to continue this matter. And this matter right now is the determination of an imposition of fine until our December 13, 2016 meeting. And I'm hoping that in the interim, Mr. Stenson will have an opportunity to inspect the property.
Yeah, all he has to do is contact me.
He'll report back that but for this matter regarding the excessive work on the front, the property is otherwise in compliance.
Yes, sir.
And hopefully by then maybe you'll have made some progress with your contractor. But at the end of the day, we're stuck in a limbo because contractors are hard to find right now. I'll take that into consideration. But I want to know for certain, but for that permit application, that this property is in compliance.
Yeah, I sent him all the information for the update, and it's been done. But you know, we did take permits out for everything, even things we didn't need to have a permit for, because we wanted to make sure that we went above and beyond to cover things. And I've gotten no response from the code enforcement office. Numerous phone calls to Mr. Garcia as well that have not been returned. So to try to straighten this whole situation out.
Well, first of all, Mr. Garcia has been out for several weeks.
Right, and maybe
not a month.
Yes.
And that's not a discussion with you. The inspector, I know what it was, wanted some clarification on the one point that he made, which was a point that as far as
an opportunity for inspection by the inspector. That's the burden that's on the respondent to let the inspector know when to schedule something with the inspector. So he said when the inspector contacts him and asks him, he'll let him come and see. But what we need is for him to contact the inspector when they're ready for that inspection. And so
yeah, I didn't imply the follow-up.
Okay, forget the history. I'm not interested in the history. Yeah. I want this done. Yeah. Okay? So between now and December 13th, that means the monkey is on your back to call that gentleman over there and say, I would like for you to inspect this property. And I would suggest giving him at least a week's notice. Okay? And that having been said, you know, if you are still stuck in some sort of administrative purgatory right now because you can't find a contractor to submit whatever the city needs to take care of the failure to obtain the permits, then I'll take that into consideration. But I at least want to know that everything else is done.
Everything else has been done, sir.
And then whenever you're ready for Mr. Stinson to come inspect the property, give him a call. You don't have to wait till the end of the month. And then in the meantime, stay on your contractor to do whatever needs to be done to satisfy or clear up this issue with regard to the permits.
We will, sir. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, next case, AVS Investments, LLC. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
That's in compliance with the November 2nd, 2016.
Oh, yes, that's why I'm sure the big black line right there. Case number 9, Love Tabernacle Kojic Incorporated, care of Richard Butts, trustee. Anyone for the respondent? Okay, not seeing a respondent, let's say the city.
Mr. Kelder, the inspector in this case is Cliff Reckonzone. Mr. Reckonzone has advised me that the respondent has been doing some work without permits and that the inspector is not satisfied with the efforts or the progress of the respondent. Is asking for an imposition of a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000 plus a $250 administrative fee for the no business tax receipt. And I will tend to Mr. Reckonzone for any factual questions you may have regarding this.
Okay, yes. Mr. Reckonzone, what's going on with this respondent? What's the problem here?
Good morning, Mr. McKelder. My name is Cliff Reckonzone, and my credentials are on file. With this case here, they had a plumbing in the backyard where they were baked in. They put in all new piping, possibly a new sewer septic tank without a permit. And it's been over, I believe, 3 months that they still have not pulled the permit for the work that has already been done to that property. And I have had no contact with the property owners.
All right. Well, noting the absence of the respondent, the lack of effort on the part of the respondent, the failure to come into compliance with the current order of non-compliance, I am finding the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing October 6, 2016, and ordering that that fine continue to accrue until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. I am further ordering that the respondent pay the $250 fee for failure to obtain its business tax receipt. Is there anything else the city required?
No, sir.
Very good. Case number 10, William Dennison Sr., Minglers Incorporated, or in Minglers Incorporated, a.k.a. Minglers Social Club.
Ms. McKelvey, if I could ask if we can have maybe a 3-minute recess just so I can get my witnesses together. I don't know if I'll need the detail of them, but just a brief moment.
Well, maybe we'll just make about 5 to 10 minutes and we'll reconvene.
Thank you.
Okay, we will resume the special magistrate proceedings. We're going to skip over case number 10 for a moment. We're going to proceed to the new cases, and then with that, the parties and the witnesses here for case number 10 will have as much time as they need. So, case number 11, Jasmine and Stephen Linderman. Anyone here for the respondent? Seeing
the respondent, what say the city? Mr. Vakelja, the inspector is Cliff Reckonzone on this case. He advises that the property is in major disrepair. It appears vacant. He's requesting non-compliance next cutoff to come into compliance.
All right. Noting the absence of the respondent, based upon the presentation by the city, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by December 7, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 12, Joseph H. and Barbara J. Daly. Yes, sir, can we please
Good morning.
Name this morning?
Joseph P. Daly.
Please, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you
have to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Daly, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
It did.
And I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance, in your opinion?
Mr. Kelly, this is before you as a repeat violation. The history of this parking in the front yard. there was an order of noncompliance entered in June 21st, 2016 on the same violation. The inspector reports that there are two occurrences that he found, and he's requesting $50 per occurrence for a fine of $100.
Okay, let's say Mr. Daly.
Sir, I have two tools at my disposal in order to help the city and work with my tenants. One is communication, and the second is action. I've spoken to Mr. Stenson immediately upon being notified of the first violation. I took photographs. I talked to my tenant. Mr. Stenson reinspected the property. I sent him photographs via email. Tenant was in compliance. I have a problem tenant that believes that nobody should have the right to tell him what to do with his property. I communicated to him that it's not his property, it's my property. I sent him two letters. The second letter was clear and concise. And I'll just read in part what's pertinent. I have been notified that I must appear before a hearing in Daytona Beach for your repeated code violations and subsequent violations of the terms of your lease. Code enforcement has notified me that they have spoken to you on numerous times about vehicles parked on the lawn and the front yard. This will be your second and final notification regarding this matter. Should you be in noncompliance at any time within a 12-month period, your lease will be terminated. The second tool that I have is action. And if my tenant violates any code within the city of Daytona Beach within the next 12-month period, he will be evicted. It's as simple as that. That's all I can do. You know, Mr. Stenson has been by there. Tenant is in compliance. I had a meeting of the minds with my tenant. I told him, I'm pretty laid back, but when I have to appear here and waste hours of my time, you're gone. So that's where I stand right now. My tenant has been in compliance. I've been by there numerous times. Mr. Stenson has been by there. I think we had a good meeting of the minds with the tenant, and I think the problem is rectified. If it's not, he'll be evicted. That's all I can do by law.
All All right. Well, that's your prerogative. I guess the unfortunate part here is you are your tenant's people, so to speak. That having been said, I'm going to go ahead and find a respondent for some of $50 for these two events. I'm hoping you're going to pass that fine on to your tenant, along with this warning. That the next time it comes in here, it won't be $25 per occasion. It'll be going up, and it'll be going up dramatically. This is to let you know that we're sick. And I don't, I mean you as the property owner. And I understand the tenant is your source of your problems. Unfortunately, we don't get to deal with the tenant. We only get to deal with you. For us to deal with your tenant would be an instant lawsuit against the city for interfering with that relationship. But in any event, so I'm finding a respondent for some $50. I hope you're going to pass that along to you, with your tenant.
I can't legally.
Pardon?
I can't legally.
You can't legally what?
Pass this fine along to him.
I don't know why you can't.
For the same reason you can't legally fine him, you have to fine me. There's no jurisprudence allowing me to...
Perhaps you need to take a look at your lease, but I'd be surprised if your lease doesn't have language that says if you're not subjected to some expense due to his fault for reasons beyond your control that you're not allowed to back charge him that.
I don't think it does,
event,
but...
I'll leave that to you and your tenant. So in any event, here's the reality. You can let them know it's real. I'm being fined now. This time it was only $50, but that special magistrate said next time it's going to be going up dramatically. Good luck.
Question.
Yes, sir.
In the event my tenant, 6 months from now, Mr. Stenson goes by and he's got a car parked on his, half on his driveway, half on his grass, can I be notified so that I can institute an eviction versus having to go through this scenario again? You understand what I'm saying? It's pointless to bring me here. My hands are tied. I can only evict if he violates the lease.
Well, it sounds as though what you need to do is you need to talk to somebody about the lease and what your do's and don'ts are. You've got a residential lease, and you do have some rights.
Okay.
But you need to consult with somebody who can basically tell you what you can and can't do when it comes to a stubborn tenant.
Okay. Thank you.
And just for, and I know you probably already know this, but for Mr. Vickers, this information is complaint driven. It's not just the inspector's inspection, but it is complaint driven.
I understand. But by the time I get notification of what's going on, it
just means it doesn't look like the neighbors are allowed to attend either.
No, it is what it is.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Case 13, Jack Morris Jr. Mr. Morris here. Let's save the city.
Mr. Kelter, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that, again, this is another property where we have a repeat violation. This is for outside storage. The respondent was last ordered, an order finding noncompliance was entered against the property on November 13, 2012. Mr. Sense report that this violation continues, and so we are asking for a fine of $100 per day be imposed until the property comes into compliance, to a maximum of $10,000.
$100 per day commencing when? Today?
Yes. The date of the... Okay, Mr. Stinson says today. The statute allows from the date of violation, but if Mr. Stinson says today.
Today's good.
Very good. Noting the absence of the respondent based upon the presentation by the city attorney, I find that the respondent is in violation of a prior repeat violation order. And find the respondent sum of $100 per day, commencing November 8, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter, or continuing to accrue each day thereafter, until the respondent is in compliance where the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Case number 14, Kimberly E. Telfair.
Good morning.
Kimberly E. Telfair.
Sir, are you going to be testifying?
Yes.
Can you say your name, please, sir?
Arthur Hanson, Jr.
Arthur
Hanson, Jr.
Okay. You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Telfer, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, then I find the respondent non-compliant. All right, excuse me one moment while I ask him some questions. Mr. City Attorney, how much time does the city think it ought to take for the respondent to be able to come to compliance?
Ms. McKelty, the inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that it should take till next cutoff to come into compliance. This is an occupied rooming house, and the notes according to Mrs. Stinson, it's in deplorable condition with various needs, including structural issues, and the new issue is that they don't have water. But his request is that it come into compliance by next cutoff.
Is this a multi-family structure?
I attend to Mrs. Stinson.
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. The qualifications are on file. There are two structures on this property, yes. Both structures are rented out. The rear structure had two unrelated tenants with all the listed violations, as you can see. The worst of the violations is that the water was turned off on 10/7. And per utility billing, it's still off. Just the conditions inside are just not livable, aside from the fact that it's a non-conforming use as a rooming house.
All right, Ms. Telfair, the city has indicated that you ought to be able to clean all this up by December 7, 2016. What say you to that?
December 7th. Yes.
Okay.
And also,
Madam Speaker, whereas the back apartment, a rumor house, it's not a rumor house. What it was, I was living back there. One of the guys was my friend. He needed somewhere to live. I just came let him come over to live. We never gave him no lease. We never told him it's going to be a rumor house. The other person is her sister. She got convicted out of the house she was in. So we let her come there and live. We never did describe that it was going to be a rumor house. We just trying to help someone out. And they went and did all sorts of things trying not to. Wherever you live at, you have to at least give something to live there. That's all we asked, to give something to live there. We was not given no lease. We're not given no thing out. So we've been asking them for the longest to leave so we can fix up the place to rent it out. But they find all kinds of ways of not complying not to leave. Now, every time we go there to do something, they call the law enforcement on us.
They call law enforcement on you for doing what?
For come if do anything, come to clean up or whatever, they call the law enforcement.
Okay. Well, it sounds as though perhaps you're
going to
have to evict them.
We're trying to evict them. That was, okay. In the process of trying to evict them and apply to this too.
All right, well, that having been said, all right, you know, right now, everyone's agreeing that this is going to be in compliance by December 7th, 2016.
Yes. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you tell me there are third parties out there who aren't going to lift a finger to help that happen.
Oh, they're not going to do nothing. All they want to do is just stay there.
And the point is, you're the property owner.
So it's up to us.
It's up to you to get them out.
Okay.
And the only way to get them out is evict them. And so my point is, if you're not in compliance by December 7, 2016, what I need to hear is The only reason we're not in compliance is because the eviction proceedings aren't going as fast as we would like them to go.
Okay.
But I need to see effort being taken
okay.
to get these people out if they're going to be the excuse for you not being in compliance.
All right, thank you.
So I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure it out from there.
Okay.
But my point is, if come December 7th or come December 13th, you're standing here and you've made no progress, and you're telling me it's all because of the tenants, and you're telling me that you haven't started eviction proceedings, then you're going to get fined.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if on the other hand, you're here saying, we did as much as we could, and the only stuff we didn't get done was because our tenants were keeping us from doing it, and we started eviction proceedings,
mm-hmm.
then I'll hear you out when you tell me you might need some more time.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
All right. Very good.
Thank
good luck
you.
To you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We need to order.
All right, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by December 7, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck, folks. Case number 15, Hannah S. West Estate. Anyone here for the respondent? Yes, ma'am, could you please state your name?
Juliet Massey.
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Massey, what's your affiliation with the Hannah S. West Estate?
It's a property that I inherited and from my grandmother along with my sister. Basically,
So Ms. West was your grandmother? Ms. West was your grandmother?
Yes.
Mr. City Attorney, we good to go?
I'm sorry, I apologize. What is it exactly? I got pulled away.
Grandmother owned the property.
That's just being my name.
Grandmother passed away, and she's inherited it.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right, Ms. Massey, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as soon as you noticed the violation?
No, this my actually the first time I was noticed. I mean, I was notified of the violations was when I took a letter off the door on the 21st or 20th? Was it October the 21st or something like that? That's the first time I was notified.
So on October 21st, you took a letter off the door and it told you.
Yeah, and that was after the people that were in there left. They could no longer stay there because there's no power in the house caused by the hurricane. So,
has any of the work that's been, are any of the issues that were cited in notice of violation been fixed?
First of all, these violations only a couple of them. That's not even true. And then not since the 21st. No, the house has been boarded. I shut it down. It's closed up. Nobody's in it.
So no.
Actually, it's in the process of being sold to a private investor right now.
So no work has been done to fix these matters.
No, because nobody there, and I can't do the work myself right now.
All right, I find the respondent non-compliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time is it going to take to make compliance?
Mr. Kelly, the inspector informed said next cutoff would take till next cutoff to come into compliance. The individuals that are up here with me are the most recent tenants who wanted to be heard regarding the condition of the property. But the inspector's position is that they should be able to be into compliance by next cutoff.
Very good. All right. First off, Ms. Massey, the city seems to think you should be able to fix all these matters by December 7th, 2016. What say you to that?
Yes. Well, what you have here, yeah.
Okay. All right. If you would just step aside, let's hear from the tenants and see what they have to say, and then I'll make a decision. Okay, folks, if you would please step up, state your names and be sworn.
Say your name, please.
Brandy Hamilton.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to speak a little bit louder.
Brandy Hamilton.
Ma'am? I'm the grandparent of Brandy Hamilton, Bobby Hudson.
Hudson?
Hudson,
H-U-D-S-O-N.
Bobby.
Can you raise your right hand, please, ma'am? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, folks, what's up?
I was the most recent tenant living there in the house, and Ms. Julie didn't fix anything for me like the whole 7-8 months that I was living there. This is the second time that code enforcement has been out to the home. It was no appliances in the home when I moved there. I had to provide my own refrigerator and a stove she went and bought from another property and brought over there. And the stove, like, when I cook on it, shut all the power off in the house. So my uncle used to cook for me and bring food for me and my kids to eat. And the only way we had to warm up food was the microwave that I had. It was no AC in the house. My kids used to have nosebleeds. I provided AC units in the rooms to cool off the house. The towel fell in the tub. I went over and told Ms. Julie about it. It took her like 2 weeks before she even came over there to see what had happened to the house. My front door was off the hinges. It was only hanging on by a hinge. She came over and put more screws in that and left that. It was still a big hole under the bottom of the front door. It was lizards and scorpions crawling in my house.
And I take it you've moved out?
I had to move out due to the storm because it was still no power left in the house. Like, it was a tree fell on the power line and it knocked the whole post off the top of the house. And they restored everybody's power around me except for mine. FPL came out and said that she had to hire an electrician to get the power back in the house. So it was no need for me to stay there, and she wasn't fixing it. I was forced to move out. And I got a water bill. My water bill has been going from $1,000 to $1,300. It started at $500, $700, $900. It keeps going. I told her that it's leaking. I called the water people. The water people said that there's no way in the world that I should be using 334,000 a gallon of water with me and my 4 small children staying there. I continuously tell her about it. She didn't do anything about it. I've been trying to work and pay this water bill and pay her too. But this water bill is outrageous.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Can I approach, sir?
Sure.
Thank you.
You haven't got any receipts from Ms. Massey. This is a letter that I prepared and gave her that Brandy will not pay any additional funds to her to continue renting the house. Attached are water bills. Water bills started at $5. It went to $7, from $7 to $900, up to $1,300 where they stand now. This is the most current water bill that we just received, and she's been out of the house for over a month and a half. This is the condition of the bathroom where the water is leaking. The tiles are falling off the bathroom. We continue to take pictures. I continue to tell my granddaughter, don't give her any more money. I called and contacted and wrote everything out in a complaint and sent to Mrs. Stenson. We continue to take pictures of everything in the house. The toilet was leaking. Here's a current bill of the water bill. As it continued to go up month to month, the water was cut off. She has 4 small children under 8 years old. She was trying to keep water on in the house to bathe and to utilize as she needed it. They were without a refrigerator for some month and a half. Ms. Massey met me over at the Habitat store where I was thinking that she was going to purchase a refrigerator. Upon her moving in February, she did not get a refrigerator. My son got a refrigerator for Brandy. Ms. Massey moved another stove from an apartment house, well, a house that she has over on, I think it's Park Drive, Parkway or somewhere, I can't remember exactly. But she brought that stove, and it wasn't fit to use.
She was supposed to be going to clean the stove. She sprayed the stove down, left. Brandy tried to clean the stove. She never brought the burner pads to go inside the stove. And the house was just in shambles. She continued to make excuses. She came over to get the money for the rent. Brandy continued to give her money as she could. She got behind. She had a case manager from the house next door that gave her Department of Children and Family, referred her to the house next door. The lady was coming out making regular visits because of the situation. Brandy was really in a crisis with the four children living there in those conditions. The agency paid $488 to the city of Daytona to help pay to get the rent back on, water back on, and paid Ms. Massey a check in the amount of $500 for the rent. Ms. Massey never provided receipts, so it's our word against hers that we gave her money. And I kept telling her to stop giving her money, give her a money order. The only receipts we ever got from her are the receipts that you have attached there. And she never gave me the last receipt in the amount of $200 to finalize the $1,500 that I gave her for the first, last, and deposit when we moved in, when she moved in February. When the storm came up, the storm knocked the electrical box off the outside of the house with the wires hanging down. So Brandy and the children are separated. The children are with their fathers. She's sleeping on one of her friends' couch, and that's where she currently is now. We contacted FEMA, and we're still waiting to find out what can they or if anything possibly do. But this is a picture of what the storm done to the house on the outside, destroying the meter box. These are the other pictures. We've uploaded them from the phone.
Okay.
Uploaded them from her phone so you can see them more clearly. And this is a situation that she was trying to live in until she could get herself straightened out. Now, I don't know how we can address this water bill at $1,195. Brandy's name is on the account, and she's going to be held responsible. And as I said, she's paid some $600. When Ms. Massey has not contacted the city, tried to do anything to assist this water still leaking in these old pipes that are coming up into the house and flooding the bathroom. The floor is about to fall in the bathroom as a result.
All right. Well, with regard to your situation with your landlord, unfortunately, you're not going to get much relief here because that's not what we're structured to do. Now, I don't know if you have an attorney representing you right now or if you've attempted to locate one, but you might want to take that into consideration.
We have talked to Ms. Deborah Haskell. She's aware of the situation. I went to out on Mason Avenue to her office and spoke with her about the entire situation and to get instructions as to how to handle it, because this is the first time I've ever had to endure something like this. And with this being my granddaughter, I stepped in to try to assist her in every way I possibly could. My son and I have been doing everything we can to help her with those children.
All right. Well, I thank you.
All right.
And I wish you luck.
Thank you.
And, anyway, you've consulted an attorney. That's about as much as I can say in that regard.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, returning to the matter before me, I've already found the respondent in noncompliance. And from what I'm hearing from both sides, the property ought to be brought into compliance by December 7th. So that having been said, I'll order the respondent to be in compliance by December 7, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay? And you got till December 7th to come into compliance. And when you do, you should call the inspector for a final inspection. Good luck to you. All right, with that concludes our agenda, with the exception of item number 10, William Dennison Sr. and Winglers Incorporated, a.k.a. Winglers Social Club. So we will now proceed to that item.
Thank you.
would just be assigned on this way.
No, no. We can bring it up after. It's in ways. We'll bring it up after. Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Kelvin. I guess someone showed up. Is he still here?
Oh, yes, he's here. All right.
No, yeah. We had someone that came in late after the case started, number 9.
That's the point, though.
47 South Martin Luther King. It already imposed a fine. So I don't know if you want to.
Okay, I'm moving on to Mingler's right now.
Okay.
If we want to wait until after the Mingler's matter, then I'll consider it.
Okay.
I've already told these people I'd be getting to them, and it's their turn right now.
Yes, sir.
All right.
That clock is actually well screwed up.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. This letter is here for the imposition of a fine if noncompliance is ceasing activities 9/16/16. Impose fine if noncompliance with advertising events on our website 10/5/16. So either way, it sounds as though the city is bringing this before me for the imposition of a fine. So that having been said, let's say the city. And I trust you noted Mr. Hartley's appearance on behalf of this
Yes, sir.
Mr. Couch, that's correct. The this matter is before you for imposition of a fine, and there are several points. As you indicated, there were your order had two points of consideration. The first was for there to be compliance with the activities that were indicated at the prior hearing, and for them to cease those activities. And you gave a deadline. Subsequent to the that deadline, the city did do a reinspection of the property, and I do have the that reinspection was done by various members of the staff, those who were involved previously, and as well as the property. At least Mr. Hartley was there, as well as I believe Mr. Ames. But the inspection was done with Suzette Meeks, Jason Jeffries, those who had testified previously, as well as the fire inspector Brian Severson, and the code inspector Tom Kleeg was Hector Garcia. What I'd like is for Mr. Jeffries to come in and advise you of what they found, and quite honestly, we have certain opinions about what we found, but and I'd like to have the staff express that to you. But when it's all said and done, we do have, in addition to that, various. I have the testimony of the forensic computer inspector as well, Tim Aaron Coffer. As the follow-up to whether or not they were in compliance with the website as well. And then finally, I have the officers who basically, the summary of their testimony would be that they've gone to the property weekly ever since the order has been imposed, and there's been activity at the property, flashing lights, music, patrons or individuals in the outside and inside, numerous cars, as much as 20 cars at some points. And so that would be the nature of what we plan to present, and I'd like to go ahead and present that now for me.
Well, let me ask. For some reason, I was under the impression this matter had already made its way over to the court.
It did not. The no. Okay. We actually, we had continued the hearing. We did not set a new date, but it actually would have occurred on the same weekend of the hurricane, and the court was actually closed the date that we had previously scheduled. That Monday was when it was scheduled, the Monday after the hurricane events or circumstances. So it has not been reset at this point, and where we are as of the date is before you remedying at least that aspect of this case. At the very least, we believe that we still have them operating without any type. There is no business tax receipt. None has been issued. And we'll be happy to address that further. And so at the very least, they're still operating. They're operating weekly. They're still advertising events every week. And so, as I said, I'd like at least for the redevelopment officer to be heard. That was Jason Jeffries, who testified previously on the concerns of the city and how what we sought for remedies. So if I can, I'll call Mr. Jeffries at this time.
What's the nature of the relief sought at the courthouse right now?
It's for injunctive relief. Temporary and permanent.
Staying my order?
No, not at this point. It was filed prior to us ever coming before you on the code proceedings.
It's actually asking for the same things that they're asking here, which is that the renovating. What they're asking for, they're saying that they're operating in non-compliance or without a business action, receiving some so forth, and asking the court to order an injunction to keep them from functioning as such.
Until
you can function as such.
Yes,
your clients.
Yeah. Until and unless they, of course, obtain a business tax receipt following the requirements of the code.
In any event, there's been no intermediate relief granted by any courts as I sit here right now.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. I will call Jason Jeffries.
Name, Jason Jeffries, Redevelopment Project Manager.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Jeffries says I previously spoke to you. This nature of this proceeding is more just to give the magistrate a response to how or what you saw in terms of a compliance with the order that was imposed concerning the ceasing of activities that led you to believe that you had the matters that were raised before business, adult business, a BYOB, those types of things. So if you can just advise the inspector as to what was found, what concerns were raised from your inspection, and we'll go from there.
Okay. We re-inspected the property at the request of the business tax receipt applicant. Upon re-inspection, the certain visible signs that we noted in the previous at the previous hearing, such as the beds, the sign, the visual evidence that they had a adult entertainment had been removed. So the private rooms were no longer in place. The beds were no longer in the individual rooms. And then in terms of a nightclub, they had removed like the pool table, and they had more the rooms had been all converted to and the large open space, they had tables and chairs more in keeping with the social club. But that's in terms of our site visit. We were not able to inspect the entire property, and at that site inspection, the applicant made a request that the top floor, they said it was a private residence, of which this is not licensed for a private for a residential use. Residential use is permitted in that zoning district, but there would have to be a site plan review or building permit review to allow residential use in that building.
So
we weren't able to complete that inspection.
Okay. Were you able to determine where the beds or if the beds were retrievable?
Yes, the beds, they were removed from the individual rooms, but they were put into a single room, or a couple of the rooms were converted to storage use, and the beds were just placed into the storage rooms.
So some of the articles that you relied upon in arriving at your conclusion that there was a bottle club, adult theater, and or nightclub taking place there were still there, but relocated, moved around, stuff.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the extent of testimony. I don't know.
I was there on the date that that you did the reinspection. In terms of what you just testified, it is a fair statement to say that as to the prior hearing that we had, Mr. Amos and Mr. Dennison were in substantial compliance with the request that we made for correction.
In terms of the hearing?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call substantial compliance because the beds were just removed and placed into storage.
Are they required to destroy them? Or
I would say probably moved off premise, and I can't. I do know in that inspection, the fire inspector expressed some concerns about how they were stored, but I can't.
But that's not your area.
No. No, they have to rely on the fire report for that.
But it is true that other than the issue of you not liking where they were stored, the building was in compliance with what had been expressed in the preceding hearing, correct?
They had removed the beds in the layout from as it was set up. So some of the visible signs that it was a adult entertainment and or a nightclub were removed.
And have you had any direct testimony or direct evidence that things are not continuing to be in that same condition?
Well, we haven't been able to inspect it while it's open and operating.
And you were also in the building on that day for the inspection. That was related to the business tax receipt application, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and there was a list of things that were given to Mr. Amos and Mr. Dennison at that meeting that needed to be complied with in order to have the BTR granted, or at least re-inspected to see if they were in compliance, correct?
Yes. And we also were not able to complete the entire inspection. We were not able to get to the top floor.
And as you testified, that was because he was saying that was a private residence that he was staying.
Right. So now we have another zoning issue.
Okay. But he had on that day, he had not been cited for that, though, had he?
I'm not sure. I'm not aware.
Okay. So to your knowledge, he had not been put on notice that was an issue.
We mentioned it to him. We had a verbal... We had a conversation about that, and there would be does raise other issues.
But for purposes of that day, he was not on notice that that was an issue.
Well, prior to that day, he was not suggesting that there was going to be a residence up there. Now there is.
Understood. I think that each time you go back, there's like one more thing.
No.
You requested an additional inspection. Did that ever occur?
No.
Were you invited for it or called or contacted to your knowledge?
Well, that contact would be occurred down in the permits and licensing, and I'm not aware of that occurring.
Okay.
Nor have I been approached directly.
Okay. I don't have anything else. And briefly, I don't have much, but briefly, Suzette Meeks. Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry, ma'am. Suzette Day. How many years?
Suzette Day, permits and license.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but
the truth? I affirm. Thank you. Ms. Meeks, you've heard the testimony regarding going to the reinspection. You were part of that reinspection.
Correct.
Since the reinspection, has there been any follow-up?
I've had no contact, no.
Would that have been to you or to your position?
It should have been, yes.
Okay, so the reinspection was back in September?
Correct.
Okay, so since then you had no follow-up as to whether or not they're complying or even trying to comply.
Correct.
Okay, I have nothing further.
I don't have that. Mr. Jackson, do you have the date? Sorry, I didn't remember that.
That's fine. On the day of that inspection, did you give Mr. Amos or Mr. Dennison a list of things that need to be addressed before the BTR?
I did not personally. There was a fire inspection done, and I believe that was given or sent.
Right, it wasn't given on that actual day.
Correct.
Was that subsequently mailed to Mr. Dennison and Mr. Ingram?
I believe so. You would have to contact Brian Sewardson.
Okay. Did your office produce any documents that were sent directly to him so that you would know what was coming to it?
As far as the inspection report?
Correct.
Not from me. No, that would have been from the fire inspector.
Okay, so the fire inspector was solely responsible for the list of things that needed to be addressed?
Correct, because he did the inspection.
Nothing further.
What's your position again?
I'm sorry?
Your position?
Permits and licensing.
And you're out there because you, like Mr. Jeffries, were doing an inspection incident to a business tax receipt?
At the time, I was the license officer. I've since then gone to part-time, so now I have a different position. So we do have another license officer in place. But at that time, I was the license officer.
And you don't recall when this inspection was?
I know it was after the last hearing.
Mr. Kelly, I believe the pictures is...
October.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I believe the pictures are showing September 27th. Would that sound correct?
Round about there, yes.
Someone else in the staff.
Mistake, just out of curiosity, who's taking your position?
I'm Sheriff.
Thank you.
I'll call Officer Aaron Coffer. Check. Detective. That's the time, Detective.
Good morning. Timothy Aaron Coffer, Daytona Beach Police Department.
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole
truth,
and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
My license is Coffer.
Aaron Coffer, E-H-R-E-N-K-A-U-F-E-R. Yes, sir.
Ms. Aaron Coffer, you've been involved in reviewing at least the websites concerning this case ever since the case started. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you presented even an affidavit regarding the initial code proceeding.
Yes, sir, I did.
That you had made review of the websites?
Yes, sir.
Okay, have you made subsequent review of those websites?
Yes, sir.
And when I say those websites, I'm talking about the minglersclub.com and swinglifestyle.com?
Correct, and also swingdateclub.com.
Okay, and in reviewing those websites, you were advised of the order that came from the magistrate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that they were to be... that they were to be eliminated was actually the order. Upon reviewing the websites, what did you find?
They still contain the ads for the Minglers Club. They have dates for ads coming up one or two a month up to the end of the year for events such as cheerleading parties, BYOB parties, and a whole list of events going on, all the way up until, I believe, the January next year.
Okay, you took screenshots of the websites as well?
Yes, sir, I did.
And those are the screenshots I just handed you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll hand those on to Ms. Fakelja. And the last time you reviewed those, or the last time you viewed and verified the existence of those websites was when?
This morning, prior to this hearing.
Okay.
I selected a sample from the Swing Lifestyle of a couple of the expanded ads. I believe one or two of them. There were probably 10 or more of those ads. I just expanded two of them for your review.
No, I don't have to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have anything else, Mr. Aaron Coffer. Let's see if he has any questions. I think you may want to see the pictures.
Did I understand you to say these screenshots are current all the way up to this morning?
The screenshots are actually from last Thursday. I believe that was the 3rd. I did view them visually this morning, the site themselves, and they're still the same.
And they still continue to show references to 500 South Ridgewood Avenue?
Yes, sir.
I'm done.
As indicated, I have no other questions. So, Mr. Aaron Coffer, Mr. Kelton.
Mr. Aaron Coffer,
we're
going to walk through these exhibits that you've presented.
Okay.
Exhibit number one, which shows the Minglers Club, Minglers News. Did you print that for this morning? Did you print that this morning, or when did you print that?
This would have been last week.
Okay. And the date that's on there that indicates that the event, the Naughty Co-Ed Slumber Party, when does that indicate that that is taking place?
July 12, 2016.
Okay, so that was before the other hearing that we were here on, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Showing another Minglers Club ad. Does that indicate any particular dates on there?
No, sir. The one you just showed me references back to the other two sites I spoke of, the Swing Lifestyle and the Swingers Gators Club.
Okay, and then this page, I think, which is the Swingers Club list, and then gives some indication that... Let me see, 867 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, and then Minglers Club review. And when was that review done?
August 21st, 2016.
Let me ask you, in these other ones that you presented before, one is an SLS events, other is Swing Lifestyle, and the other is, it's Swing Lifestyle again. In reviewing these websites, did you happen to do any domain ownership searches?
Yes, sir, I did.
And who did the domains for Swing Lifestyle come back to?
It came back to a company in Canada.
Okay. Did any of those, other than the Minglers Club, which have the dates that precede the hearing, the first hearing we had, did any of those other websites have any ownership indication that it came back to Mr. Dennison or Mr. Amos or Minglers Club?
No, what they did contain was the banner ad as an affiliate that they would have to allow them to show, such as on the top of the Swing Lifestyle, this Minglers Club ad. This is going to have HTML code that they would have gotten from Swingers, the Minglers Club, and then post that on their site. So somebody with either access to that or intimate knowledge of the operation would have to supply that.
So if the banner ad clicks back to Minglers Club, and Minglers Club website has essentially nothing on it other than ads that go back to July and August of this year, how is it advertising current and upcoming events?
I'm not sure I understand, because it is advertising upcoming events, because the specificity of the events listed here would have to be somebody that had intimate knowledge of the procedures, the amounts, the fees, the location. Talks about here couples $20. It's got the amounts. It's got specifics about the event, attire. Somebody that had knowledge of the event would have had to have posted that, or had been a really good guess.
No, my question to you is, it doesn't show a date of the event.
Sure it does. Right here. This one is for November 4th. Actually, we might have missed that event. Well, the next ones continue up to the end of the year. You got one for November 5th, November 12th, November 19th, November 24th, December 10th, and they continue all the way up until the last one I have on my page that I can see is September 21st, 2017, which was canceled for Bike Week.
I have nothing further, Inspector,
Detective
Aaron Coffin.
Thank you, sir.
This is a benefit. Mr. Kell just indicated the remainder are officers. I'm basically representing inspections for every weekend since, or at least a stop by near midnight every weekend since September 11th through November 1st. And I will be happy to present them all if you those or you want a summary. And I do have the writing, so I will present their written reports as well. I will call Lieutenant Miller up, and I will present the writings.
Good morning, Lieutenant Miller, Daytona Beach Police Department. I do.
Lieutenant Miller, you're a lieutenant with the Daytona Beach Police Department?
I am.
Okay, and can you, I guess that's your area where these this property is located?
Yes, I am the shift commander for District 2.
Okay, and I've been provided with supplement reports from September 11th all the way through November 1st. And can you give us a, I know you were involved in the one on September 17th, so let's start with that. Can you tell us about that event?
Okay. On September 17th, I was directed by my captain to keep an eye on this property. I guess it was after the last special magistrate that they were in non-compliance, and just to make sure that they were in compliance. My instructions to the officers on the weekends that I worked was to go by, do a visual on the outside of the property, account for cars and the activity on the outside of the property. At no time were the officers instructed to do an inside inspection. On the 17th, I drove by. There are approximately 8 cars in the parking lot at the time. I believe, from refreshing my memory in the report, I went there around 1:30 in the morning. I did not hear any audible noise. However, there were 2 gentlemen in the parking lot, and there was like strobe lighting, or I don't know if it was considered strobing, but it was like red flashing light coming from the inside of the building.
Was there any encounter, or what was any signage or anything regarding trespass or anything like that?
At that particular time, no, there was not. I have since, and weekends gone by since that time, and there has been a sign in the parking lot as you enter stating that it is a private club, special event, members only.
And the other officers who are here, I know that you have a list. Officer Rossi isn't here, but you're familiar with her report.
That's from the opposite weekends. That's from a different platoon.
Okay.
But I have not. No, I do not know her report.
Okay. But we do have the Rosky.
Rosky's here. He did several reports, and
also Sylvester.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have any other questions of you. If I can.
Sure. No, sir. So you inspected, or you drove through there on 9/17. You just like there was approximately 8 cars.
Yes.
Was there any, to your knowledge, was there any directive by the steering officer that he was not allowed to have cars in?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, and that there was activity in the building were you informed by anyone in your office or through Mr. Jackson's office that he was not allowed to have activities there?
No, I was just told to do an observation of and document what our observations were.
Right.
My understanding, I don't know what the rulings were at that time of the special magistrate, but I was just told to document if there seemed to be any events going on.
And red flashing lights, but there was never any directive to you that it was a particular violation of anything?
No. Right. I don't know what the violations would have been. I was not informed of that.
All right. And I have nothing further.
I have nothing further of this officer. I would call Officer Dorosky.
Officer Dorosky.
Raise your hand. Do you want to swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
D-O-R-O-S-K-I.
Now, Officer Dorosky, you were there on the 18th of September, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and what were your observations then?
I've been to that location several times. Specifically on the 18th, I'd have to review my report. I know that each and every time that I went down there was, let me go back. I was instructed to go down there and document what activity I saw going on. At no time was I instructed to go inside and do any kind of internal investigation of the property. Each and every time that I went down there was anywhere from 4 to 12 cars in the parking lot, depending on the times that I went. There was no ambient noise heard coming from the property. Several times that I went down there, I made contact with Mr. Amos, explained to him why I was there, and that was the extent of what I did.
Was there observations in a parking lot? Were there people mingling or any of that type of thing?
On several occasions, yes. There was anywhere from 2 to 6 people, depending on which time I had gone down there. I made a total of, I think, 7 or 8 trips through that area over the course of a week or two.
Was there anything that led you to believe this was some type of event that was going on?
The only time that I could honestly say that there would have been an event when they had a sign posted outside that said that there was an event.
And were those signs posted when you went?
Right at the entrance to the driveway.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
You just testified that you have not seen very many people there in the event you've been there.
I said anywhere from 2 to 6 people at any given time.
Yeah, I mean, does that seem like a lot of people for that area? Have you ever been called to any of the parties or events that take place during the house specifically?
Me specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah, once about a
year. Of course, I don't know what the relevance, but
I've been assigned to that area for the last 5 years, and I think in total I've maybe been called there twice, to my recollection. But.
And did you at any point make the statement to Mr. Amos that it was your opinion that this was just harassment from the city that you were asked to do?
No.
Did you indicate to Mr. Amos at any point that you felt as though he was being singled out unfairly?
No.
Enough of that.
Question.
Yes, sir.
September September 18, it says you're there at approximately 00:08 hours. Is that right after midnight?
Yes, sir.
And you, according to your report of September 18, you can have it back if you need it. You observed 11 vehicles in the parking lot at that time?
That's correct.
My point, what typically was the time that you would go by this location to conduct this drive-by?
Anywhere between 9 and midnight was typically the time that I drove by.
I'm looking at a report of yours dated September 30th. It says the report time is 0200. Let me hand you that. Let me ask you, can you tell me when you went by this location on that occasion?
On this particular day, I'm not 100% sure. I would have to look at my CAG report to know. I logged out when I was doing these checks, but the time that I wrote the report in the midst of doing my other duties was at 0200 hours.
All right, another report dated October 2. Can you tell me from that report what time you have driven by this location?
This one, I, as indicated in here, and I remember, to my knowledge, that was twice that evening, once at 9 o'clock, 2100 hours, and again at 11 p.m., 2300 hours. I checked it twice.
Okay. Now, on these occasions when you ran into people who were there, did they tell you there was some sort of a private event taking part, happening inside?
Not to my recollection.
So the thing, the testimony regarding the private event, that comes from
signs
from the parking lot?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have anything further from this officer. And Mr. Couch, I have no other testimony. The order was pretty clear.
We have an Officer Sylvester here.
Yes, Officer Sylvester is present. I will call Officer Sylvester. Officer Sylvester, please come forward.
Hello. Angelica Sylvester. I do.
State your name.
Angelica Sylvester.
And Officer Sylvester, you're a patrol officer?
Yes, sir.
And had you had circumstances where you've gone to this address at 500, what is that, North Ridgewood? South Ridgewood, yeah.
Yes, twice.
And can you tell us about those occasions?
I was instructed by my lieutenant to conduct extra patrols at that location. I don't have my reports with me, but I went twice. One time I went, and there was about, I remember there was about 25 cars in the parking lot. There was a sign out front that said private event. I believe it said no trespassing on it, too. And there was a security guard, I guess, at the entrance of the driveway. I didn't hear any loud noises. I just saw some lights coming through the door. And that was about it on that one. And then on the second one, I don't remember how many cars that I noted were in the parking lot approximately. But I do remember that there was still the private event sign outside.
Oh, sorry. I don't have any other questions.
No, I didn't hear any loud noises either time.
Was there anything that would indicate that there was any type of dance party or anything like that going on inside either time of the day?
I didn't see anybody dancing. I just saw lights, which is normally what kind of lights are in a nightclub. But I didn't see anything other than that that would...
Did you hear any music?
No.
Okay,
let me give you these two reports. I think they're yours. Let me ask you a couple of questions about them.
Okay.
I might want to show them to council.
I just look over here.
This
one's
the first one that I went.
You're short, Ms. Mikhail. I'd rather he go ahead and take a look at it, and so she doesn't have to feel discomfort.
No, it's fine.
It's a little personal. No sudden movements.
You have a report dated October 15th?
Yes.
And on that occasion, did you drive by 500 South Ridgeway?
Yes, sir.
And what time was it when you did that?
I know it was before midnight. Oh, no. It was at midnight, like around midnight.
How many cars were in the parking lot?
I noted approximately 12.
Was that the occasion in which you encountered someone in the parking lot?
No, that was on the 16th.
Okay, so on October 15th, you're going by there at midnight, you're seeing lights, you're seeing 12 cars in the parking lot.
That I saw the lights on the 16th.
Okay. So anyway, you go by there at midnight, you're seeing 12 cars in the parking lot. On that occasion, you don't recall seeing any lights, and you weren't encountered by anyone in the parking lot.
Right.
And did you observe the sign that said private event, no trespassing?
Yes.
Now on October 16th, can you tell me when you went by 500 South Ridgeway?
I went almost at 1 o'clock in the morning.
How many cars are in the parking lot?
Approximately 12. Approximately 25.
Were you confronted by anyone in the parking lot on that occasion?
Yeah, I noticed someone sitting near the sign. So I decided to drive into the driveway, and I just asked him, I was like, can I drive through the parking lot? He said no. And I was like, okay. And he's like, my name's Don. I'm a security guard. You're not allowed to drive through the parking lot. And I said, okay, and did a U-turn and went up the other way.
So you were in your cruiser?
Yes, sir.
And on that occasion, any lights and music?
Yeah, there were lights. I couldn't hear any music, but I didn't note the lights in here, but there were lights. I remember seeing them through the door.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Doing stuff.
Oh, yes.
I don't have anything further.
I reviewed those, so you may or may not want to make a part of the record. I'll leave that up to you and council.
Yes, that's fine. Mr. Kelly, I have no more witnesses to present. The position of the city is that there was an abundance of evidence that this activity was going on when we first came. There was some effort, it appears, to lessen the totality of what we saw before. The city's not quite sure that they've done enough to show that they're not doing the things that you specifically ordered them not to do, especially as we see with the website.
This activity has been weekly activities. By their own admission, by their own signage, by their own they're holding themselves out that it's an activity. They're putting signs out that says it's an activity, private event. None of that's permitted, and the nature of the activity is still based on the websites and the conduct. Both go in the direction of something contrary to a standard social club, which is what they keep asking to be, but are doing what appears to be well beyond that and not following through even to try and obtain the necessary permits to even be a social club. There is, as was alluded to by counsel, there were other things they were cited for that are related to building codes that are not before you today that I'm sure they're working on to remedy, and fire items, but as to the continued activity that's contrary to the code, it hasn't ceased. And I guess we're asking for you to find them in noncompliance on both your orders and to impose a fine of $250 per day.
$250 per day on each, on the interim ruling as well as the final ruling regarding the website?
Yes, sir. Okay. As well as the $250 fine for no business exercise.
Sure. You know, it's not very often that I get to come and stand in front of you and have such resounding evidence of compliance, yet the city's position is they take the smallest kernel of questionable fact and try and spin it into something that it's not. I mean, one of the issues here, and I think without the fact that I didn't get to put my client's testimony on it, I'm willing to argue this point now, is that, you know, Mr. Amos back at the original hearing argued that there were some websites that he had no control over. You know, the city's expert testifies, says, well, you know, the websites, the SLS website or the Swing Lifestyle website or whatever those things are, where there's banner ads and there's other things, are controlled by a company based out of Canada which has no connections with Mr. Amos, Mr. Dennison, or with Mingler's Club International, or Mingler's Club. Now, what they did say is that, well, look, there's a banner ad on there, but the fact is that the banner ad, which is a click ad, leads back to the Mingler's page, which if you look at the Mingler's page, which are the two pages right here, it's blank on one page. It has a reference to a July 16, 2016 event on the other. It's clear that there's been, and just so you're aware on the other pages, if you look at the web address, that's the indicator of where these things are coming from. This is minglersclub.com. This is minglersclub.com. This is Swingers Club List, Swing Lifestyle, Swing Lifestyle, Swing Lifestyle. These are the things that are controlled by the company out of Canada. My client would obviously have no control over that whatsoever. But the one thing that he does have control over is the Mingler's Club website. And what this court said when we were here last time was, get that stuff down that it would indicate that you were not in compliance. What you were looking at right here is essentially nothing other than the nasty co-ed slumber party, which was dated for, it was posted on July 12th, 2016, and it was set for July 16th, Saturday at 8 p.m. There is nothing else on there that indicates that there's anything ongoing in the future or has been. So then you turn to the other facts that this court had to consider, which was the setup of the building, the indications internally that things would be going on that would be consistent with a bottle club, nightclub, adult entertainment establishment. And what has taken place is they've come into compliance. Now, it seemed to me that you know,
Mr. Jeffrey's largest complaint with the compliance was is that they didn't like where the things were stored. The fact of the matter is that he doesn't have the, he may not have the ability to carry things down the street or put them into a storage unit, but he has a huge building that's probably over 5,000 square feet, and to store them in what he considers to be a storage area is certainly appropriate. The fact of the matter is that he needed to be in compliance with what this court said was to not have the appearance or to function as a bottle club, adult theater, or nightclub, which he had done. The other issues was outward appearance for police officers. You have three police officers that testify that while there are cars in the parking lot, which is not illegal and does not violate any of this court's order in terms of what they're doing, what you have consistently is no ambient noise in the police reports, no ambient noise, no music. Well, there's no dancing if there's no music. Sure, there's some flashing lights, but that doesn't indicate anything other than a lighting scheme inside the building. So you have three officers that testify that they heard nothing. They heard nothing. So I just, the abundance of activity that Mr. Jackson alludes to, the abundance of the activity is that these guys are in compliance. And while the business tax receipt issue has not been resolved yet, there was application made. There was an inspection made. At the time of the inspection, there was a list of things that were provided on October 11th is when they were provided. And they're doing the best they can. But for purposes of being in violation of what this court ordered, they're not in violation. They're just not in violation. And I think it sends a very scary message that if they get to take facts that are favorable to my client, somehow spin them into still not in compliance. I mean, what is compliance then? They're in compliance. So,
well, we start with the proposition that at the initial hearing you were found to be in non-compliance.
Correct.
That was based on evidence that was taken into consideration. Prominent among that was testimony regarding activities as to what was going on in the interior, as well as the contents of the interior, as well as activities going on outside.
Great.
You were given until the 16th to come to compliance with the activities on site. You were given until October 5th of 2016 to basically remove any further advertising from any websites, web pages, what have you. So when you say you've come into compliance, what I've heard so far is the police have not had access to the second floor of this building, so we don't know what's in there. They've not been allowed access into the parking lot other than what they can observe from the street. They've been excluded from the building. I'm told that some of the stuff was removed, but some of it is still there on site. And I'm told we have anywhere from 12 to 25 cars at midnight sitting in the parking lot for a private event. Okay, so my point is, why don't you explain to me what your client has done to dispel the notion that they're still in violation?
Well, then I would have to testify. I mean, I can't give that testimony because I'm not the person there. But, I mean, based upon what we're seeing, if there's 12 cars in the parking lot, 25 cars in the parking lot, that doesn't indicate that there's something in violation of the law that's taking place. The law, as you said.
No, but cumulatively, when, like I said, you put that in conjunction with the fact that your client was ordered to come into compliance because he was found to be in non-compliance. How does excluding the police from the second floor, excluding the police from the parking lot, and removing some of the contents qualify as coming into compliance
Because you made a list of things that he needed to do, none of which were giving the police unfettered access to the building 24 hours a day. It was about having these things that indicated to you as the hearing officer that this business was functioning in a manner that was inconsistent with what the law was.
And how are they going to be able to do that without being given an opportunity to inspect the premises?
Well, we can set a time to inspect it. I mean, that's what we did last time. We have had an open-door policy for the city to come in there and take a look.
How can you say you've had an open-door policy when the second floor, they've been excluded from the second floor, they've all been turned away from the parking lot whenever they approach anybody there?
The reality is, Judge, is that this isn't just about finding out what's going on there. There's been a consistent pattern of harassment by the police as far as my client's position is, and he's tired of it. The drive-thrus, 3 and 4 times a night, and what goes on. And this is a private organization that doesn't want police officers going through and running tags in parking lots and walking through and looking at who is in the building. That flies in the face of the nature of their organization.
What would they expect once it's already been determined they've been in noncompliance by effectively operating adult entertainment or a bottle club? That finding's already a matter of record.
Sure.
And now it's a matter of purging that. Your client satisfying me that, hey, we're not in noncompliance anymore. This is what we've done. We've removed all those articles. We've allowed the police to inspect the premises. We don't have any activities going on there at odd hours of the night that might cause any suspicions or any concerns. We've done all these things, ergo we've come into compliance. I haven't seen or heard that. Have you?
The question in my mind is what could my client do to purge himself, as you said, of the sense of or of the moniker of noncompliance based upon the person? Correct. What could he do? And the only thing in my mind that he could do would be to set a reinspection, much like what happens in this courtroom on a regular basis. A reinspection is not something that happens at 2 o'clock in the morning, unannounced by police officers who, for all intents and purposes, don't participate in this. Mr. Jackson can contact me and say, hey, we'd like access to it, because we've granted access to it. Now, the upstairs portion of it, that's his apartment. I didn't understand at that point in time that there had never been an allegation that nightclub activities had taken place upstairs, and I just didn't see that as being necessary. But, no, I don't know what to tell you, Your Honor. You know, he does everything that was on the list that he was asked to do, or at least he thought that he had done everything that was on the list that he was asked to do. He had made the changes so that there was no appearance of impropriety, appearance of inconsistency with the court's order, and now apparently it's not enough, and he didn't understand that. And frankly, I didn't either. You know, to
can I see those police reports again? Anything further from the city?
Nothing further.
Anything further from the respondent?
No. Thank you, sir.
I find the respondent failed to come into compliance with the portion of my order. Requiring compliance by September 16th, compliance meaning ceasing all prohibited activity, I find the respondent also failed to come into compliance with the portion of the order requiring that by October 5th, any and all advertising of events on websites be removed. I am fining the respondent the sum of $100 per day for each of those violations. So, from the first of those violations, there is a $100 fine commencing on September 17th. It's going to run until such time as the property is in compliance. On the latter violation, the fine is going to commence to run from October 6th and continue to run until such time as the property is in compliance. Are there caps that I need to take into consideration when it comes to this property?
Yes, I don't know if anyone took a look at that. Yeah, it's commercial, so it would be the minimum of $20,000. Yeah, we'd have to calculate it.
$500.
So it would be up to a maximum of $20,000.
And at each of those times, we continue to accrue until the property is brought into compliance as to both issues, or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $20,000. No questions? In addition to that, the respondent is being required to pay the $250 fee for failure to obtain a business tax receipt. Now,
I'm expected to just ask for one thing clarified. As far as the when you say the property in compliance, you're meaning as to the advertisement, that advertisement is in compliance.
$100 a day continues to accrue until the activities that are prohibited cease. $100 a day continues to accrue until there is no more website advertising in this location and this activity.
Okay.
Now, I have a question. At what point does the city entertain requesting the will fund?
Well, if something was to reoccur, typically because of a running fine, what a will fund would do is just reimpose a fine. So we typically don't reconsider a fine until we're in compliance. So at the conclusion of the maximum, that may be an issue, or if they're cited on a subsequent circumstance.
I'm just going to speak candidly here. The amount of the fine I selected at $100 per day was less than the $250 they requested. I doubt very seriously the respondent is going to find very much Christian charity in that, but be that as it may, the amount was selected to try, in part, to encourage the respondent to come into compliance, with the intention that in the event this is going to be an ongoing or future issue, that in that event the amount of that fine might be increased. So there you go. I'm just mentioning that for whatever it's worth. But in any event, as it stands right now, the respondent's been found in noncompliance. The respondent has failed to come into compliance on the interim order, failed to come into compliance on the requirement that they be in compliance by October 5th. Fine $100 per day for each of those, and they'll continue to accrue until the maximum amount of the fine reaches $20,000, unless the respondent comes into compliance early.
There was one other issue, Mr. McAllister. One of the principal issues of the citation is the failure to have a business tax receipt. And
I thought I just talked about
it. Did you mention it? I'm sorry. Okay, I didn't make the note. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed that. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So, in any event, very good, John. That's my thinking for whatever it's worth. Good luck to you.
Okay, that's everything. That's right. We have this gentleman here. Yes. Which number is that?
Number 13, 13.
Hello, how you doing?
Old case is number 9. This gentleman is for number 13.
My name is Zach Morris, Jr. 708 King.
708 King.
Okay. So
number 13.
Jack Morris.
Yes.
Okay, this is here for the imposition of fine. What say the city?
Mr. Kelger, the inspector informs me that the respondent is asking if we could amend this and actually give him 10 days to comply. The inspector says he's willing to give him 10 days. He would much rather sit in compliance than have a fine running. So our recommendation is to give him 10 days to comply, or and since this is a repeat violation, I guess it would be still fair to have the $100 penalty for a one-time event and then $100 fine to run if he fails to come into compliance. That would
Or
a fine of $100 per day.
Who are you?
Jack Morris, Jr.
Okay. Have we got the property in compliance yet?
I had started on it, and due to all the other little stuff that I had going on with my parents' property, and then I got sick, so I had to kind of slack off. And then I was still waiting to see if the city moved some of the debris that was already out there. But they had somebody move the limbs, but they didn't move the trash stuff that I was pulling out of the yard. So I didn't want to bring everything out of there. So like I was telling the inspector, they already had started to move it. But he said that when he went by there, it hadn't been moved. But it had been like that about two weeks now. So I just need 10 days just to finish it.
10 days and you're done.
And I'm done.
Cross your heart, look to God.
Right hand to God.
All right. Well, I'm going to go. First off, I guess I need to, since the inspector is not objecting to that 10 days, I guess the first thing I need to do is vacate the previous order we entered, finding the response. So, I'm doing that.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm allowing the respondent an additional 10 days. What date is November 18th fall on?
Friday, sir.
Yes.
Okay. I'm giving the respondent until November. All right, we're going to go to 2021. I'm giving the respondent until November 21 to come into compliance.
Yes, sir.
If the respondent is not in compliance by November 21, a fine in the amount of $50 per day goes into effect automatically and continues each day thereafter until the respondent is in compliance.
Thank you, sir.
I'm holding your feet to the fire here.
Yes, sir.
You tell me you're going to get it done in 10. I gave you 13. Good news. Bad news. You mess it up, fine's automatically going to be there.
Gotcha.
So by next Friday or Monday, either one, make sure you get a hold of that gentleman. Call for your inspection and get it all squared away.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, we have another case. This is
number 9. Good evening. My name is Ed Butts with Love Tabernacle.
Last name?
Ed Butts. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Now, Ms. Bukowski, the this is the one where the inspector is Cliff Reckinson. I don't believe he's still here.
He's not from the city, sir.
But the testimony was that that there was they were doing some work, but it was without permit. This was involving the plumbing system there at the rental facility, and that they had pulled it and replaced it and did other things, but it was done without permits. And he was not happy with the efforts they were making now to try and obtain the permits or to come into compliance. And so we had requested that a fine be imposed. And I'm not sure. One second, I didn't. What do you want to do with that? Something. Yeah. We really hadn't heard what the, you know, the fine is in place. We hadn't heard what relief or alternative that the respondent is asking for. We hadn't had an opportunity to speak with him.
Okay. Let's say the respondent. Do you have a permit for the plumbing system yet?
Not at this time, sir. Due to the storm that came over, it's some severe, bigger issues in the plumbing. And what we was waiting on was the finances to get in and do everything at once, which should be within the next 15 days. And one thing that wasn't clear to us is exactly, we understand they want us to get a plumber contractor, but all we was trying to do was just fix one pipe, in which, you know, I thought it was called for a simple, you know, homestead. We could pull a homestead permit to fix it without a plumber. It's a simple fix.
In any event, what you're telling me is due to finances and due to the storm, you haven't been able to attend to this, but you think you'll have all that squared away within the next 15 days?
Yes.
All right. Then here's what I'm going to do. First off, I guess I'll vacate the previous order that I entered. And then I will amend the current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 7, 2016, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay. I've basically given you another 30 days to get together with the inspector, figure out what has to be done, and get it done. Okay?
I appreciate that.
I do want...
It never was really clear on what all had to be done or whether they wanted a soil sample, this, that, or the other.
I do want to indicate that Mr. Garcia informs that there hasn't been any contact. He hasn't contacted the inspector since the last.
Well, I think he's been sending the paperwork to the wrong fellow, Mr. Jolly. Yes.
Well,
and they should have been coming to the church, the owners.
We only have a PO box for Altamont Springs for Love Tabernacle Project Inc. And then the other owners, Window Valley. That's why both.
You have an address you want to give us right now you want us to use?
Yes.
Okay.
1685 South Ridgewood. South Daytona, apartment 124.